Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club, episode number 3. I'm Colson Smith, and as always, I'm joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Price.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together to educate each other on films. It's all about the films we should have seen, but we haven't. Each week, we set a film for each other to watch, then we come into the studio every Thursday and talk about what we loved, hated, and rated. Now, the beauty of our film club is that any of you can join in. All you have to do is watch along at home and then join us on Thursday to listen to the episode. Now, this episode is even more about you guys because it's the first time ever that you guys have got to pick the film. But, as always, before we get into talking about the film, which is picked by you and Wolf of Wall Street, how's your week been?
I did a dance, didn't I?
From a film that we've never covered on the podcast, actually.
Yeah, interesting. I suppose we've never covered it because me and you have seen it, haven't we, Coles?
Yeah, before the official education started, it was one that you sat me down and said, watch.
What did you think of it?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I do. I think it will come up on the podcast. Because it is a classic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So for the people that haven't seen your dance, do you want to elaborate?
It's the famous John Travolta and Uma Thurman dance from the motion picture Pulp Fiction.
Wig,
did you like that?
That's actually what transfixed me about the whole event, was the wig.
The wig, yeah.
The wig, very good. Where'd you get that from?
Oh, I don't know, some fancy dress.
Oh, I had it in the back. I had it in the back of the wardrobe. I thought to myself, Hannah, you wait. I've got it. The wig's going on. So, talk us through, how long did it take to plan that out?
Well, we filmed it a bit ago when we sort of came out of lockdown, but I didn't edit it together. The timings weren't right. We all went back to work and other things sort of happened because I was doing those videos in lockdown, weren't I? Do you remember?
Yeah, they were huge.
They were huge.
TikTok famous, really, aren't you? Hit a million views.
1.5 billion fans for one video. TikTok never even knew what the fuck was happening to it.
No, it didn't. No. So after we came out of lockdown, the sort of like, oh, well, you can't really keep doing those videos anymore. Do you know what I mean? Sort of novelty, sort of.
It was your lockdown hobby, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was that.
That and the Taj Mahal.
Yes.
The Lego stopped.
So we had that one in the archives, really. And then now that we're back in...
It sounded like a huge studio, like Warner Brothers. We had that TikTok in the archives from the 70s. We brought it out and I thought, you know, this still works, honey.
Yeah,
let's play
exactly.
It.
So now we're back in lockdown. I thought, we'll bring that back out. We'll bring that old number.
So have you got your next one planned?
No, I haven't, actually. I don't know what we could... I mean, the obvious one is Dirty Dancing, but to be honest, I can't do that fucking lift. Not a chance I can do that lift. I ain't got the muscles. I ain't got the legs.
She could lift you.
I've lifted my daughter up in the pool once doing it, and that was a fucking struggle.
Yeah, don't drop her.
No. I tell you what would be good. If we did a Sofa Cinema Club takeover...
Go Grease Lightning would be good.
Oh my God. Would I be Olivia Newton-John?
I mean, that's a full number. That's full day's filming. We'd have to learn the steps.
2 meter distance.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Miles away.
I've only seen Grease once, I think.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Summer loving happens so fair. I do like Grease.
Oh, there we go, a few bars in.
Change the words as well.
Yeah, it's Olivia there. I've got my Olivia, Finding Olivia. It's a new BBC show. Colson Smith, Finding Olivia. Straight to judges' houses, you're in.
I think we should do a sofa cinema club scene.
I'd be someone shit. Because he wants to be fucking John Travolta. I'd be someone shit.
You want
to
be Kinnicky. You love Kinnicky.
I'd be Rizzo.
Are they the T-Bird? We'd be a T-Bird, would we?
No, you would be. I would be...
A pink lady.
A pink lady. I think you two, me in the back, Coulson, Olivia Newton-John, Shepherd Travolta, me Kinnicky.
I don't know. I've got the legs for Olivia, I tell you. I could be a...
Oh, do you think?
Me in a cat suit. Yeah, come on.
Okay. Okay. Stop it. Okay. Well, crikey. We've got someone going for the... We've got a second person going for the part. It's opening up now.
If any of you guys at home are thinking about what we could do, let us know. Give us your suggestions.
We're not doing a poll. We're not doing a bloody poll.
Ben, what have you been up to?
Well, I mean, we've obviously got the elephant in the room, haven't we, Coulson?
The run.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the run.
I didn't think you'd want to talk about the run.
Let's go there. Let's talk about the run.
It's going to make me sound like a right Ben.
All right, okay.
Take it as a compliment. It's a compliment. So, Coulson goes to me. He says, let's go for a run. Let's go for a run. He's got loads of trainers and he runs loads. And we went for a run, didn't we? We've been running off and on. We went for a run. I went, okay, I'll put my trainers on. But he went, no, quick, didn't you? You went, it's a quick one, this.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah. But then he looked at me a bit like a professional runner, like you're about to ruin my life.
All right.
In race shoes.
I had my dog shit 6.5 year running trainers, which I don't think they'd invented when Coulson was born. They're like basically leather, running on leather, hard leather. He had high tech, silver shadow. Cars could see him, couldn't see fucking me in my dirty fucking shorts and my shitty top. He's got his race watch, which tells us how high we're going, how fast, the map. And he says, oh yeah, we're going quick. Don't worry, I'll have the keys. And I said, he said, yeah, but what happens if, he said to me.
No, because last time you were quick. Last time you were quicker, you were way ahead.
He said, what are you going to do if you go ahead, Ben? And I went, I don't think that's going to happen. Anyway, so we get out the flat and he goes, little warm up, little jog just to warm up.
To the bridge.
Now, Coulson's been running. Yeah. Fair play. He's been running. And I knew it was going to be a tough run. I knew it. So we run to the bridge. And he went, and he looked, gets his massive watch. And he goes, right, are you ready? He presses start. And he just fucks off.
Lights out.
Like there was sort of dust. Like he was in a car. And
the
I
gazelle.
Went, oh, yeah, go. Off. Fucking off. Off. So he's reflective, so I can see him. And he's like burning through Salford. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm on my own. I'm going to have to get an Uber. He's off. He's gone. He's gone. I've got no fucking chance. We're over the big roundabout, that massive roundabout network. And I'm getting more panic because I don't know where I am. I'm fucking lost. I've got no clue where I am. Anyway, he runs up to the corner and then he runs back because I'm going so slow. He runs back and piles past me, Jack. Oh, man. Gone.
It was good, though. It was good.
Well done, Coles.
I came back an absolute mess. He'd broken the world land speed record. I came back as an absolute bloody mess.
But we got in. I loaded my laptop up for you. Pro Direct running. What did you do?
I bought some trainers. So I'm looking to shave an hour off my time. I typed in fastest fucking trainers you've got. And they sent me them. And they've got little jetpack in it.
Right, so a little bit different now, isn't it, the podcast? This is our fourth member kind of making the debut.
Yep.
It feels a bit weird, actually, going into it, because it isn't a film that we've picked.
I'm glad it's come up, this film.
It's Wolf of Wall Street, and it's synopsis time. For the first time ever, please welcome, and the first ever fourth member of the Sofa Cinema Club, Jake Howarth, for the synopsis.
The Wolf of Wall Street is a crime fiction drama directed by Hollywood legend director Martin Scorsese. Martin Scorsese is renowned for directing brilliant films, and some of his classics include Goodfellas and Taxi Driver. The Wolf of Wall Street, it stars Leonardo DiCaprio as the main protagonist and Margot Robbie as the protagonist's wife. It also offers an element of comedy to the film, starring Jonah Hill, which is a really good, you know, addition to the film. It starts off with Jordan Belfort, played by DiCaprio, entering Wall Street, unaware of what's going to happen. And then that progresses from him moving from that little company to starting his own company, Stratton Oakmont. It also shows the highs that money can bring, and it also shows the lows that money can bring and that the mess it can cause. It's an absolute thrill to watch, and it's one of the best films I've ever seen.
Miles better than Jack.
He's done very well. Although I was thinking of this before we did this podcast, and I knew we were going to get somebody come on with a synopsis. And I know they have to sort of, like, you know, rehearse. We don't get that opportunity. They get 17 takes to get it right, and we get one.
Yeah, but we're professional actors.
Yeah, and Jake's a student at Salford Uni.
He's at Salford Uni. I don't think his professional job is synopsis.
You started fucking doing Oliver Twist at 2 years old.
He did well, I think. He did well.
That's very good. I mean, it's miles better than what you could do, Shepard.
Ooh. Yeah, but you're not practicing. That's what you're saying, Jack, isn't it? You're not practicing. You're just off the cuff.
That's what I'm saying. None of us are practicing. We're
fucking hell. You just can't be contained. Give me a film. Give me a film now, not synopsis. Give me a film. It's like improv. Any film. Just fucking make up a film.
Imagine if that was your party piece. Your skill. Fucking give a synopsis about any film. All I need is a minute.
Give me a film. Any film. Actually, make up a film, a title, and I'll make a film to that film. I've got a minute. Go. He's very good on the synopsis game. Yeah, well done, Jake. Very good. Very good. Big film, long film.
Long film. And he said it's one of the best films he's ever watched, which is a statement. That's a big statement. Mm. I'm backing him. I forgot how good this film was. But I remember when it came out as well, it was the talk of college.
7 years ago. I can't believe it was that long ago.
It was the talk. It was the thing. And when you watch it, you know why, don't you? Money, drugs, women, boats, cars.
Sounds great. I mean,
yeah.
When do we start? Is that us three on the podcast? Maybe we could just do that. Reenact Wolf of Wall Street. Three of us.
His sort of life, John Belfort, I mean, it's sort of like one that every guy sort of envies, doesn't he? He has all that money, power, you know, does what he wants, flies a helicopter, crashes it, not really bothered. He's got a Ferrari.
Yeah.
He's on Wolf, loads of money.
With the highs come the lows.
Yeah.
Come the massive lows. Massive lows. When you've got the FBI after your ass, and then all the problems with his wife, the kids.
So right, before we start talking about the film, Ben, you mentioned it's a long one. Obviously, I watched it alone. So how did you watch it?
On my own. No one's going to go in there with me. The kids weren't going to go in there with me. Now, the reason I bring up the time, the reason I bring up how long it is how extraordinary it keeps you going in that story for 3 hours. Like, we've watched some long films on this podcast. We've watched some films that aren't as long as that. And yet we've gone, it felt a bit long, or it felt a bit... But it is a real tribute to Scorsese, but definitely DiCaprio, in how well done that film is. He was originally going to shoot it. He started writing it in 2007. He always shot in 35. and it was going to be his first film in digital. But in the end, they shot part film, and then the VFX, there's 400 VFX shots in that film.
What's that?
Explain that VFX, Ben.
When it's really, really good. So maybe when he's on the boat, or when he's at the party, or when he... They will map in the rest of the scenery to what he's doing. So he won't necessarily be...
In Italy.
In Italy. They will have taken that boat, green screen the back, so they're not flying around the world. But when it's done really, really well, you just don't know. Until you see a making of, and you go, fucking hell, that's incredible. I thought, actually, Coulson, it's interesting how much you liked it. What did you think about the time?
You know, you text me to say, you're going to have to watch the film on your own. It's 3 hours. I was like, it's not 3 hours. What's he on? And then when I Googled it, and it's 2 hours 58, I was like, I would never have known that was a 3 hour film. Because I've watched it so many times, and it does just fly by. Like, I mean, it was a bit of a pain for me. I had to pause it and have my tea halfway through.
Which bit did you pause?
Do you know what I said to myself? I said, I'm going to wait until Jonah Hill comes in. Because I'm thinking Jonah Hill comes in about an hour in. Jonah Hill comes in about 20 minutes in.
How good's he?
He's brilliant. Unbelievable.
It's all improvised, isn't it? You can just tell. He's making everyone piss themselves left, right and centre.
So it starts off, it's this voiceover, isn't it, that's led by DiCaprio.
A very Scorsese thing, the voiceover.
What, has Scorsese done anything else that I've seen?
Yeah, Goodfellas, you idiot. Casino.
Okay, I didn't know they were him.
Yeah.
So it's the voiceover on reflection from Jordan Belfort, where he's basically saying, this is my life, this is how amazing it is, this is how I got there. And then the film kind of starts with him going on his first ever day on Wall Street, doesn't it?
Yeah, at a broker firm. What was it? Is it Goldman's? Or one of those? No, Lehman Brothers.
Yeah,
which collapses. They're the only one that collapsed. And you see him start, and you see him build up, and his bosses... That's when we first see McConaughey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all trading, and that was the big time where people were making huge money before the crash, before the first crash, big crash.
And he'd worked his way up, hadn't he, at that firm? You know, he'd started off as a phone boy and he finally got his broker's license.
Yeah.
And it was the first day that he got his broker's license that the crash happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that bank went bust, quite famously. It went bust. So they had nothing. It all went. The offices, everything went. It wasn't saved. It wasn't like Lloyd's. It went. It fucking went. It went. They lost everything. All money, everything. Broke.
The things that I forgot, it obviously in a 3 hour film, that scene with Matthew McConaughey is literally, it's in the first 10 minutes. It's in it. It's 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that is something that everyone remembers. That's the thing. I mean, Jack, you probably do an impression of it better than anyone.
The thing on the chest.
Yeah.
But that was all improvised.
Yeah, completely.
Scorsese, he majority of the film was all improvised, and a lot of people's reactions, the actors' reactions to people improvise. You know, it's all of it's natural. Like, even, I mean, we're jumping ahead, but when Jonah Hill got his old man out, when he got his old little chap out, do you remember at the party, the pool party? All that was improvised.
You can tell that because their heads fell off around him. Yeah. McConaughey did that before a take, didn't he? That's what he does to calm himself down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said, stick it in.
DiCaprio said, stick it in. McConaughey took all the credit, obviously, but it was DiCaprio who said, well, we should maybe put that
So that's a lunch. He tells him he should be upping his wanking game, doesn't he?
Well, it sets the tone of the film, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's drugs. Boo, you know, it completely sets the tone of what we're about to watch.
What his life should
is
be.
Is about to become.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, it goes bust and, you know, he's straight away, he's had his first setback. He's back to rock bottom. He's at home. He's going through the papers. He's looking for a new job. And then there's a job, isn't there, in Staten Island, which is in penny stocks, pink sheets. And he goes to the interview and he just starts working. And he realises then that although he's selling shit and it's not a lot, he's making big commission.
The markup is big, isn't it? It's 50%. As opposed to on a normal trade, what is it? 5 or 10?
1%.
And now he's making 50.
And it doesn't take him long to realise that he can cut out the middleman here and he can set up his own firm. And rather than selling to Frank the bus driver, he can sell to Freddie the millionaire sort of thing. So he completely sets up his own firm. And that is kind of the birth of Stratton Oakmar, isn't it? Where
Oakmont. I like that, though. I like what you did there, Stratton Oakmar.
You said it with conviction.
I know, I like that. You were like Georgian Belfort there. You went, Stratton Oakmar.
Why pick me up on it if it's close enough?
Because the audience like to know. What I love is his mates. I love his mates. I love the mates he recruits. They're all complete knobs.
They're all,
They're all, but they're brilliant actors. The lad with the wig. The lad who's the drug dealer who's just aggressive.
The sea otter.
The sea otter.
Sea otter. Chester. I mean,
that must have been his mates. That must have been how it worked.
And he's just trained them to basically bullshit people on the phone. That's it. That's they're literally just lying to people.
He gives them a script. I mean, I think if I was born in a different life, in a different era, I think I'd be a very good salesman.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'd be shit.
Could do that.
I'd be too honest. Why are you all laughing?
Would you? You say that like you're like a priest. I'd just be too honest. I wouldn't be able to
I mean is I'd say, this is a bit
shit, but buy them because I make money.
Yeah.
But that's what he does, isn't it? He sells people shit and he makes money. And the company grows and grows and grows at a rapid rate. And you see this through the film. They go from renting a garage to renting a floor in an office to renting a bigger office than a bigger office. And then basically, he's the new boy on Wall Street. His firm is running everything. But to get to this point, he has to meet Jonah Hill's character, doesn't he? And Jonah Hill's character sees him in the cafe and sees his bright yellow Jaguar and goes up to him and does the classic thing, which actually is a trend at the moment, which I found quite funny, which goes up to him and says, "Is that your car?" And he says, "Yeah." And he goes, "What do you do for a living?" And he tells him, and he says, "If you can prove to me that you make that sort of money, I'll quit my job right now." And he does it. And
I like how he says, "I'll quit my job right now and I'll work for you." What if DiCaprio don't want him to work for him? Do you know what I mean? I think he just likes his ballsiness.
But what he interestingly also worked out, because he says, "How do you have a car like that but live in my block?" Yeah. So he's worked out it's quick money. He's make big money very, very quickly because he's still in the flat, but he's bought that car, which is worth more than the flat.
Yeah.
And then he does that hilarious phone call, which he's obviously improvised, which he quits his job.
Yeah.
with DiCaprio next to him.
The bit that's completely improvised, that has to be, because you can see it in Jonah Hill's face, is where he says to him, "There's some rumours about you and your cousin." That cannot have been in the script. And it just stays. Yeah. And he says, "No, I just wanted to fuck my cousin so nobody else could fuck my cousin." And you can see them both trying not to piss themselves.
And then he goes, "Yeah, but, you know, it's a bit tricky when we, you know, you have kids. We've got two, they're fine." And if they weren't, I would have packed them off. I would have left them on the side of the street. "No, I wouldn't, I'm joking.
I'd have taken them up to a mountain and I'd have said, 'Be free, you're free now.'" It was that bit that I was watching. That was a bit when I kind of remembered someone saying a lot of this film's improvised. And you just watch them two and they're just playing.
I think he's got a particular skill for it.
What, Jonah Hill?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's got a particular... In every one of his scenes, you can see he's got that glint in his eye.
He's got the balls, hasn't he?
Yeah.
As an actor, there's that whole thing of, you know, acting on impulse and doing your thing. But everything also, when you're acting, tells you not to do it. Whereas Jonah Hill must have just completely broken that down.
But good on Scorsese. Scorsese must have said, carry
on. Which makes you wonder how much they said, actually, that is too far.
Well, it's the most, isn't it, the most swearing in any film?
It's 569 fucks.
Which is the most swearing they've ever had in a film.
Most in 569 fucks.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. It's my daily average.
I mean, that's more than the podcast. That's more than the podcast.
So where are we now? He's checked his job in. They're all set up in the garage. They're earning big money, aren't they?
They've gone big. He set up the brand.
Yeah. Oakmont. What was it called?
Stratton Oakmar.
That's it. Oakmar.
I think that's better. I think he missed a trick there.
I think you're right.
Hello, it's Colson from Stratton Oakmar. I'm here to sell you some penny stars.
Hang up instantly.
And then, so with the money also becomes the girls and the gear and the parties. So we see that all escalate as well. It all gets bigger, doesn't it? All the time. So money gets bigger, they get bigger.
So as he progresses through his Wall Street career, we see the more and more he takes drugs. And that's kind of, the more his friendship with Jonah Hill develops, the more that happens. And they start taking these things called looms, don't they?
Quaaludes.
And we see it in a few times that the more he takes this, the more he concentrates and the more he gets better work done. So he throws this massive party, doesn't he? Because he decides that they need something new. They need a fresh idea. So they take these ludes and basically it's all the mates, all the big boys brainstorming.
Jonah Hill's so mashed, he can't say anything at that snooker table. He's so hammered. He's giving them a great idea, but he can't say it. Madman. Oh, it's a brilliant bit of filming.
But that's their idea, isn't it? That, yes, you know, that they come up with the best ideas when they're completely off the head and high. But whilst he's there, who does he meet, Jack?
The Duchess, don't he? Margot Robbie's character.
With his wife still there. Hello, Margot. That's my wife.
It's awkward.
I mean, she is obviously one of the best-looking girls in the world. But how... That first shot when she walks in and you just see Leo's face go, yep, right. And all the lads are straight there going, Jordan, you've got to see this girl. You've got to see this girl. And he's like, yep, like, she's mine. Hands off sort of thing.
They lose perspective, don't they? They've got so high and are so rich, they've lost that sense of what's right and wrong.
I'm wrong, yeah.
So there's a group of them in that pool table that are making the decisions, and then you get the feeling 1,000 people hanging on and they don't give a shit.
But they're in with the crowd, aren't they? Because he decides that he's going to go up and introduce himself to this girl, and he does. He goes and introduces himself to this girl, and he chats to her boyfriend. It's all very awkward, and he says something like, oh, have you ever been on a jet ski? And it is that classic bit of, he knows from that first hello he's going to win her over. But then Jonah Hill's wife comes over and gives it the old, your wife wants you. And then she comes over, and then it's the bit that Jack's touched on when it pans to Margot Robbie and then back to Jonah Hill, who is off his face saying Pete Madden wanking over Margot Robbie in the middle of this pool party, which is just the most surreal thing ever. All the reactions that get picked up around it, I just, you know, what the fuck?
He must have had multiple cameras picking everyone up, because when he does that, it's clear he's just improved it, and everyone's heads have fallen off. And then he falls down, she storms off, and he's like, oh, and he's still battered. But you get that feeling, money, they've got so much money, it gets them out of any situation. They've lost what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
They've become like a court, sort of, it's like a Roman court, isn't it? Women and wine and drugs, and they've got no sense that they shouldn't be doing this.
Mm. So then he goes on a date, doesn't he?
Yeah. With Margot Robbie. He gets the girl.
He takes her out for a meal.
It works. So I've obviously learned from this film, all you need is a jet ski, because it works for him. It's a great scene, that date, when she says to him, we're not going to be friends. And he says, yeah, we are, we're going to be friends. And he goes, we're not going to be friends.
Then he goes back to her house.
Yep. Margot Robbie's first ever naked scene. And Scorsese said, you don't have to do it. I think you should just wear a nightie or something.
It was her idea.
Yeah, and she went, I've got to. She went, for the film, for the character, for the moment, I've got to. So she had three shots of Sambuca before they did it.
She told her parents it was her head, but not her body. She said they VFX'd it, so it was a body double. So they were like, oh, okay, fine. I think they all watched it, and then she went, it was my body, it was. It was. I couldn't lie. It was. But yeah, it does make it, doesn't it? It's a very powerful statement. And his head falls off.
Yeah.
And then he's still doing that sort of, he's still talking underneath it. And then you see them have sex for, what, 14 seconds?
Yeah.
And the dog jumps
up. And then that kind of, then is the next scene we see him getting out of the limo?
I think that's a series of dates. Yeah, he's having an affair, isn't he, basically?
They're having an affair. It's borrowed time. But you can tell that it's more than an affair for him. You know, he does love her. And that's the scene where he gets caught by his wife, isn't it? Yeah. She pulls him out of the limo.
I did feel sorry for her.
Yeah, you do. You do feel sorry. And she says, you know, what are you doing, Jordan? Your kids are up there. You're wasting your life and all this.
I don't think he has kids to her.
All right, well, she says, what are you doing, Jordan? Your house is up there.
Your house, what are you doing with Margot Robbie?
But he doesn't say anything. And it's that moment that she knows, oh, wait, he has gone here. I've lost him. And it's that bit of, do you love her? And he can't lie to her, can he?
What I couldn't believe, he filed for divorce 3 days later. Done. If only it was that fucking easy. Can you imagine back then?
Yes, but I suppose... Imagine,
files for divorce, all the millions he's got money. Done. Everything.
So, I mean, what I'm trying to get a feeling of the senses, I also feel he doesn't know what he feels at times. He says it in the moment. Because then when he goes off to marry Margot Robbie, they go off to Vegas. Mm. And they get that jet, don't they? And he sleeps with thousands of women and ends up spending £2 million at a hotel because he trashes it.
On his stag do.
So he doesn't...
Sets a standard.
There's that moment where he doesn't... I almost got the feeling the character had lost himself completely in this money. He just doesn't understand what's right and what's wrong.
You probably think of yourself as invincible. Yeah. You're taking that much drugs. You're up, you're down. You're back to being up again. And... nothing happens. Everyone still loves you.
You're still making money.
You're still earning so much money. You can do whatever you want to your body and you have a great time and you live still. Yeah. You're still alive.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
It's that bit that we see him go through of the more money, the more drugs, the more complications. And it's kind of a cycle that builds up, isn't it? You know, they get married and then it's like, it almost comes back to the point where we think he started the film off with the voiceover because they've got the amazing house, the helicopter, the first kid, and business is great. Everything's going amazing. But then, you know, you see there's that argument between him and Margot in the morning, isn't there? And it kind of does just build like
that. He's sleeping with someone else called Venice, isn't he?
Yeah, he's having wax dripped
blowing
on,
cocaine
isn't he?
Up her ass.
Yeah. Yeah. And getting candle wax put on his arse. And then he employs his dad to try and keep him level. His dad was brilliant in the film. Brilliant.
His dad's good.
That's the same guy, calls Rob Reiner, who directed When Harry Met Sally.
Is it?
Yeah.
He was brilliant in it. Because he was able to improvise just as much as Jonah Hill was. He was able
to
do
it as a dad. Rather than losing his shit and... he did it as the character of a dad would. Yeah. You know, that scene where they're talking about the expenditure, when he comes in and goes, you spent fucking £600,000 on, you know, there's 60 grand here at a fucking JLS Entertainment. Watch JLS Entertainment. Yeah. And he goes, I know what it fucking is. It's a fucking prostitute ring. And then when they're talking about...
It's no affiliation with JLS, the boy band, by the way.
You spent £2 million on JLS.
On JLS.
Yeah, but he plays that scene brilliantly because you see Jonah Hill's testing... Oh, no, come on, testing him.
Yeah.
And he stays in it.
And he has the scene with Leo where they talk about pubic hair and he completely stays there. Like, how he does it. You know, it's even embarrassing for us to talk about on a podcast, let alone act in the moment.
How quickly could that film have become fairly boring? After you'd seen the drugs, after you'd seen the women, after you'd seen... You could have gone a bit like, I've seen this. But each time Scorsese ramped up the consequence, he starts to... So you get that all that opening, you get all this big money, you get all these big drugs, and then underneath, suddenly you get this, he's going to get investigated by the IRS, isn't he? They're looking to get him for insider trading, dealing, and then that story comes in and it almost pierces that character and he's obsessed by it then because he's getting hunted. It's very clever the way the film suddenly becomes, it goes from one thing to another state, which is... Well, you're being hunted now. It's only a matter of time before they're going to work out you've been basically conning people. Because he does that with an IPO, doesn't he? He buys the shares.
He does it with Pete Madden, doesn't he? He sells Pete Madden's shares when
he owns it. Steve, can you get anyone's name right?
Pete Madden's one of my mates.
How's he? Does he still do shoes? In Leeds?
No,
in Cavs?
He does scaffolding in Leeds.
Oh my God.
How it's changed for him. He was making, he was designing women's shoes and doing scaff in Leeds. Pete Madden.
Pete Madden scaffolding. It's a genuine brand. He's a Leeds United fan. I know him really well.
So if you ever need any scaffolding.
Rim scaffolding.
So there's basically an IPO, which is where... You take a company that's doing really, really well and you put it to the public, sell shares. Now, what you're meant to do is just put it out there. What Leo does is he doesn't tell anyone. He owns half the firm he's about to put the shares out to. So he makes double the amount of money and it's illegal. And he has that big scene, doesn't he, where he introduces all the people to Pete Madden.
Interesting facts for you. That scene...
Go on.
Co-directed. Did you know this?
By Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, Ben didn't. I thought you'd know this. Ah. So Spielberg came to set on the day they were filming that. And apparently he just intended on like calling in for 30 minutes to wish everybody luck, to see how everything was going. And him and Scorsese got chatting. And that scene was just something. So Spielberg had to stay and watch the whole thing. And Scorsese basically says... He made him shoot a film properly rather than shooting a film the way he would. So he was saying it's got a better selection of shots because he sees things differently.
And who is Colton's friend in the film?
It's him.
No, it's Dustin Hoffman's son, isn't it?
Oh, I thought, is that not actually Steve Madden?
No.
I've always imagined that to be Steve Madden,
No. It's an actor, it's a film. Oh. Jake Hoffman. How amazing is that? I thought, that's a stat. So they got his shoes. He shows everyone the shoes. And then
he's shit.
Yeah.
That's how the synopsis could have gone.
The shoes were shit. They all think they're a bit shit. Then he releases it and he's about to make all this money. And he starts to make an enormous amount of money. It jumps from penny stocks to... I don't know, what, tens of millions, hundreds of millions?
Don't they make 40 million before 12 o'clock or something,
something like that?
Yeah.
Mm. Jonah Hill's even more off his tits. They have a whole handful of Quaaludes, don't they? Another handful. And they get even more off their face. And then they explain that you've got to stay awake for the first 15 minutes. And then once you stay awake, you get that amazing high.
So what happens after the Steve Madden thing?
Is that Switzerland?
No, we haven't got there yet. We're not there until he says, look, he gets rung up on the day of the IPO when he's at the top of his high by that private investigator and says, I need to see you. They're trying to get all the guests.
The wedding footage.
The wedding photographer rings him and says they want everyone who's there. And he goes from that massive high to shitting himself. He meets his mate, who's the private investigator, and says, this guy's after you. Don't ring him.
The private investigator, who is a big actor, always plays investigators, and he plays Paul Bart, Mall Cop. Also, the police officer from Monster House. There's a bit of Sofa Cinema Club continuity for you.
Who that very private good. Investigator is the guy yeah. from...
Copper from Monster House.
Is he?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good, Coulson. Very good. You heard it here first.
So he gets the advice. He gets the official advice, doesn't he? Which is, don't speak to him. Don't try and do this. He's as straight as a book. He's this, he's that. Don't do anything. Mm. Cut to giving him a ring. Come meet me on my yacht.
He tries to bribe him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good scene. Very good scene.
Because in his life, money has just been the answer to everything. It's just, yeah. all right, how much?
And he sees this as him up against a 50 grand a year government man versus a multi-millionaire who can pay off anything, who can sort off anything. And he doesn't see that right from wrong, does he? He sees that I'm going to sort this out and this is how I'm going to do it. And the line about how, you know, when you get in on a subway and I'm getting on a yacht, and it really does show the split comparison. And at one time you think, oh, he's going with him. You know, he's going to take the bribe. He's going to have to. He's got no other option. And then he turns around and says, well, you know, this yacht is lovely and I'm going to be such a guy at the Brewery when I bring it in.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, game on.
Well, he gets him to try and say it twice, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets him to try and repeat it.
Say it in front of my mate, the other copper. And then you'd have him for bribery. But he offers him $500,000. And you're right, Jack. That's probably worked in all of his... Because he bribes those coppers when they get into problem with the butler, don't they? And Jonah Hill beats the shit out the butler.
Butler that has that orgy
in his
house.
That's an orgy. I thought about that, you know, just from a filming point of view. You go, right, rolling up. Speed, cameras, yeah, lights, sound, we're running. Orgy.
Could you imagine being on the set of Leo going, oh, they don't need me today, I'm not in. Oh, you're not in, you're in all the film. Oh no, it's the orgy day, so yeah. I'm going to play golf.
I don't see it, but apparently they just walk in, they're all doing it.
It was banned in 5 countries.
Because of the orgy?
Yeah, a lot of the reason was sex and drugs, but obviously the mass gay orgy was seen as far too... Like, far too much. It was banned in 5 countries.
So, he's met the copper. He knows it's game on. He knows they're going to go for him. He knows he's kind of messed up a bit, doesn't he?
So, he has to shift his money, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, he's got to get his money to Switzerland.
Hide.
Because that guy with the wig says, don't worry, I know a banker who can hide all your money. But he's got to do it in cash.
Which is, what's his name, that French art?
Yeah,
that
it was in, actor, what was it called?
The Artist.
That film was good,
the
wasn't it? The Artist. Yeah, it's
yeah
him.
It was good.
But they've got to take it over in cash. They can't take enough of it. So he gets Margot Robbie's auntie, who's English.
Joanna Lumley.
He goes and sees her to take over a whole suitcase. And then his mate tapes money to his wife and all her family.
And her family, yeah.
Because that's obviously what happened. And you just think, bloody hell, that's your plan.
But it worked.
Do you know what is weird?
Yeah.
To remember that this is based on a true story. To remember that this is based on his memoirs.
Although some of it must be
elaborated. Yeah.
Because apparently he wasn't known as Wolf of Wall Street.
He called himself that.
But
apparently,
he wasn't known as that. He coined it himself, but other people on Wall Street said he wasn't.
Jordan was on set pretty much every day, wasn't he, with Leo?
He?
Basically, Leo turned around and said, I'll be honest, I haven't got much experience with drugs. So Jordan basically said, right, I'll help you out.
He reckons he was on 22 different types of drugs at the end.
Jordan Bell. Well, yeah. when he opens up, that opening scene, he talks about
he tells
all the
you
drugs
exactly
he does,
what,
doesn't he? Yeah. And, you know, it was mad, but it got to a point where it made him function, which actually comes into the film later, which we'll talk about. So, you know, they're sorting this money out. They've found the dodgiest banker in Switzerland. It's all sorted. He has that scene with Joanna Lumley in England where they sat on the bench. He kisses her.
Yeah.
Yeah, which he was so nervous about, it took him 27 takes.
Really?
Yeah, that scene where he had to kiss her 27 times, she got the DiCaprio lips.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And she's brilliant in that.
Yeah, she
is. It was supposed to be Julie Andrews, but she broke her foot.
Was he going to kiss her foot? The Hills Are Alive.
We'll get Lumley in.
Give me Lumley. She's gone. Doa Deer's gone. Get me Lumley. So they ought to smuggle the money in. They think it's great. The only slight bit of shit is Jonah Hill's character has got to go and drop the money off with his mate, who's like the drug pusher, and they hate each other. And you see that mint scene where he comes into the car park to drop his money off. He's weaving his Rolls Royce all over the place. He gets out. He's fucked. He goes, I'm not fucked. I'm kidding. I'm not fucked. And then he has a go at it and they have a fight, don't they?
Mm.
He gets arrested.
And you know when he hits him? Yeah. He punches him, doesn't he, in the face? He actually hit him and he actually knocked out his fake teeth. He knocked out Jonah Hill's fake teeth.
And when they're at the house at the sea?
Yeah, when he hits him in the face, he absolutely hit him.
Does he? Good stat, I like that. It was good seeing that. It was a good scene because you see Jonah Hill was just loving it, wasn't he? He was just loving winding him up. So his mate goes inside for 3 months but doesn't rat anyone. But they realise that Jonah Hill has messed up. Jonah Hill realises he messes up and they go back. And they take, he says he's found, his mate has found these lemons, which are these quaaludes, which are the ultimate. And they down those, don't they, thinking it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, nothing happens, does it, after nothing half an happens. Hour. So they do the obvious thing, which is...
They think, well, they're out of date, aren't they?
Yeah. This is the scene that Jordan had the biggest influence on with Leo. Because this is completely improvised.
Yes.
From the point of the high.
So he has to go to another phone, doesn't he? Because a private investigator says it's being tapped. Monster House rings him up. Says there's a house that's alive.
They're tapping the phones. You need to ring me now. They're tapping the phones. So he drives to the country club. And as he's on the phone, the high starts to kick in. And you see him slowly start to lose function in his body. And next thing you know, he's on the fucking floor crawling. But all he knows... is his wife has rang him on his mobile phone to say, you need to get here. Jonah's on the phone to Switzerland. And he knows that the phones are being hacked. So he knows the FBI know about Switzerland and Jonah's at home messing it all up. So he's got to get in the yellow white Ferrari and drive back and sort all the shit out. And there's that bit where he rolls himself down the stairs.
I mean, that is a masterclass, that, of DiCaprio. Yeah. Watching that, you think, God, you're good.
One take, did it once, and hurt himself doing it. So, but because it just worked great the first time.
Right, hurt himself doing it. We're not doing it again.
The bit when I realise how good he is when he opens his foot with the door. Because that is a
he opens
pure
his foot
act.
With the door.
He opens the door with his foot. But that's a pure, like, that's a thing, you know. He's
that's a thing.
Thought
that's
about a that. Thing.
He's thought.
It's a feat.
It's feet for hands, Leonardo DiCaprio.
There's acting, and then there's opening a door with your foot.
It's very good scene. It's a famous scene. But how amazing that Scorsese goes, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to lose all function, and then I'm going to roll down some stairs, and I'm going to open the door with my foot. Great, let's film it.
Good day at work.
Good day at work. Takes a whole day, films it, and puts it in the film.
It is unbelievable. But we know at this point the kind of film is coming to a head because the empire is almost crashing down around him. And he gets back, and when he's in the house, he knows two things. He knows he needs to get Jonah off the phone, and he knows that Jonah has fucked up with Brad.
Brad's been arrested.
But because the high is so much, he can't physically move. He can't. So he pulls the phone, he gets him off the phone, and next thing you know, Jonah Hill's helped himself from the fucking buffet and choking on some sliced ham.
I got the feeling that Jonah Hill just improvised that. I got the feeling he just went, oh, some sandwiches, ate them and started choking. I just got a feeling that wasn't what they were meant to be doing that day.
But then it does the brilliant thing of going through the drawers in his daughter's lunchbox, getting the cocaine out, because then that counters the high of the lemons or whatever, and it completely.
Oh, it does, because he has to save his life, doesn't he?
Yeah, and
I think he takes out. I think it's adrenaline. I think it's like an EpiPen.
I thought it was coke.
He sniffs coke.
It wasn't like it wasn't an adrenaline. Just pure adrenaline. Maybe it was coke.
I thought he snorts coke and it the Popeye music kicks in, doesn't it? He goes da 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 da, and then he saves his life, doesn't he?
Anything that was cocaine in the film was actually crushed vitamins, and like Jonah Hill did damage to himself because he ended up snorting that many vitamins during the film.
Yeah, he had to go to hospital.
Oh, did
he? He got bronchitis.
Don't worry, I'm doing a film. I got to pretend to take loads of drugs. I'm doing a film. So we know that it's nearly coming to the end now, isn't it?
Not really. I mean, we're about an hour in. About an hour and a half in or something. After that, the police turn up at his house, don't they, the next day. And he's crashed his car when he thought he'd driven it back safely.
Yeah, they do him for that. He gets off.
They're on him, though.
They're on him.
But that's when he gets told that it's time to make a deal, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
His dad's there, and they basically say,
you can walk away now, and they can't do anything.
Yeah.
But if you carry on, they'll kill you.
Yeah.
So, not like literally. You know what I mean?
But if you carry on, they'll kill you.
Oh, okay. They'll proper go after him.
And it's that bit of, what do you want? Do you, his dad turns around and says, look, you have made enough money. You have enough cars. You have enough houses. What more do you want? Go and have your family. Do your bit. So he agrees, doesn't he? He goes.
To give it all up.
He's gonna put Jonah in charge of the company, and that's going to be it. So he goes to give his speech, his last
goodbye. That's amazing as well. He gives that speech, and if you think about it, how many times the energy in those monologues is amazing. What he gives in that film, when he's got to really give a real standout, big movie star performance.
You do believe him. You do want him.
Yes, exactly. And you just think, it's killing him. I've got to say goodbye. And everyone's going, no, 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 don't go. And he's just, it's almost like a kind of James Brown moment where he's going off stage. He goes, I can't come back on. I'm going to stay. I'm going to think, And they go crazy. But he does that bit in the middle where he talks about the girl and saving the girl. And she cries, I love you, man. I love you, Jordan. And it's...
We all love you, Jordan.
Yeah, it's almost like one of those evangelists on TV. And DiCaprio is so fantastic at that. He's such a master of giving that next high in the film, and he decides to stay.
It's that iconic bit as well of, I'm not fucking leaving. Like that, it's been a gif, it's been a video, it's been used many. That, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, that is one of the first things that you think about, isn't it?
And they go mental, and he's in, he's back in.
They go mental, but that kind of is the start end. Of his, you know, that really is the start of his demise, because it gives the FBI the grip. He's not taking the deal.
FBI?
FBI.
Okay.
The FBI.
The green light to kind of start taking him down and then work through things.
Bombshell, they're on the boat, aren't they? They've taken a bit of time off in Italy. Bombshell, Lumley dies.
Which, again, brilliant about how emotional he is at the death of her aunt when all he's thinking is $20 million in cash.
Is in her name.
But not... Because the Swift banker has already got the fraud team onto it to hack it. I think even he knows at this point that it's all out of control. You know, it's too much money, too much drugs, like it isn't going to last. As he's on the boat, he's found out that Joanna Lumley's died, and he gets the phone call to say, Jordan, the FBI are here. The FBI.
I'll tell you what. The FBI.
I wasn't going to bring it up again.
But don't worry, because it's not the FBI. It's another one. They're not as nasty. In fact, they're quite nice.
The Federal P investigation.
They're just doing a little look round. They're just checking to see if you've got any dirty skirting boards, anything like that. If the FBI call, we're fucked.
So he calls him and he says, the FBI are here. So they're investigating that. But then all Jordan's thinking is, I've got to get to Switzerland. I've got to sort this 20 million quid out. The family want to go to England. Jonah wants to go to America. He wants to go to Switzerland. He's got one option, and in the end, it is, you know, it's all become
well,
too
that's
much.
Mad. They go on his boat and get caught in that massive storm.
Oh yeah, forgot about that.
The funniest bit of the film for me when he when they're talking about a few broken plates, few broken dishes, and he goes, "It's going to be all right as long as we tie everything down, batten down the hatches, we'll be all right." And he goes, "All right, it's going to be fucking cut to the hurricane," and he opens that door and he goes, "What the fuck is going on? The jet skis just went overboard."
And he says, "Go and get the ludes, man. Go and get the ludes."
Yeah, I'm not dying sober. I'm not dying
and
sober.
And then he gets them and he comes back and he goes, "Yeah."
Yeah. Mental.
There's a weird bit as well of when they're in the Italian boat that's rescued them, you see the private jet explode.
He called for a private jet, didn't he?
And it exploded.
To come over and pick it. And a bird flew into the engine and blew up. Imagine watching that. Imagine seeing that. You just know it's not my day today.
But what a piece of filmmaking that Scorsese went, no. We're going on the fucking boat. We're going to see the waves. We're fucking doing it. We're doing the whole shebang. Not, oh, that was a kind of bit. Let's talk about it. Oh, God, that was really... Brilliant. He does it brilliantly. Yeah.
That's got to be a true part of the Jordan story for it to feature in the film, hasn't it? It's almost too elaborate to...
His boat must have sunk.
Yeah.
So they're rescued by the Italian police. Now where are we?
Well, he's kind of gets sober, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. He says he's not drinking. He loses everything. He's going to sell the house. Jonah Hill says, "Don't worry. We're going to look after you. We'll pay all your debt."
Well, the police say we're going to use you as an informant type thing. You're going to wear a wire.
Yeah, yeah, that was it.
You're going to bring down all the heads of the firms, everybody we want, and you'll be all right.
And he kind of does that to save the relationship with his children, doesn't he? Because Margot Robbie's left him.
She is in the process of leaving him, isn't she?
But you would, wouldn't you? I mean, you would, wouldn't you? By that stage, you'd be like, "You're an absolute lunatic." And he goes loony. He opens up the settee where he's hidden some drugs in that cushion and stuffs him out, just stuffs his face into it, really, to get high. But what I didn't get, when he's wearing the wire and he's with Jonah Hill, he writes on a piece of paper in the office, "I'm wearing a wire." Jonah Hill sees that, so they start talking in general terms about what's going on. He almost warns Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
"I'm going to dob you in if you're going to incriminate yourself." But then the police come back in with the piece of paper.
They find the note.
So has Jonah Hill given them that? Jonah Hill's character given them that? And said,
I don't know.
I felt like they'd gone to Jonah Hill's character and gone, "Look, he's going to do you if you don't do him."
Right.
So, and he goes, "Well, look, he warned me he was wearing a wire." And they almost he gets off. I couldn't really... That wasn't sorting out for me, if you know what I mean.
I just assumed that it had been, like, found or something, I think.
It's not mentioned in the film, but Jonah Hill's character did go to prison.
Oh, did he?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. He got sent down in the end.
So he does the deal.
But he still kind of gets a deal, doesn't he? Because even though he doesn't wear a wire, he doesn't do that long because he still, like, dobs everyone else in, really.
Yeah. He gets 4 years. Does he get 4 years?
Yeah, and then that's that brilliant line when they're in prison and he's playing tennis and he says, "I was dreading going to prison. And then I remembered the one thing that sorts out all of my situations. I'm rich."
Still rich.
And, you know, he kind of got out of prison and it kind of gives you a taste as to what Jordan is now doing in his life, because he is kind of this public speaker, seller man, isn't he? That's what he is.
It's
that's
almost,
what he does
you
now.
Get the feeling like he sold his life. Like he's lived one life.
Yeah.
And then he's resold it to almost live it again.
Yeah.
And get his fame again on effectively this extraordinary life. Like he must have ruined some people's lives.
Didn't he have to? I think he had to pay back something like $150 million.
Oh, did he?
To the US, yeah.
But he sells it again. What a salesman. He sells his life again.
He sells his life
for an amazing film with Scorsese.
Yeah.
What's the thing you told me and Ben Jack about this film, about how it was made, how it was funded.
Interestingly, the budget, $100 million, which DiCaprio got a quarter of that, was his fee.
25. Shall we just, sorry to interrupt, shall we talk about how much Jonah Hill got?
He got 60 grand because he wanted to do the film so badly, he agreed to take the SAG lowest minimum payment.
And he auditioned, and he hadn't auditioned for like 6 or 7 years, or 10 years.
Yeah.
He auditioned for the part. So Scorsese obviously knew what he was getting, that kind of improv kind of feeling.
Yeah. And the 100 million where it came from was some businessman, some guy, an independent guy who had this money. And there's a documentary about him, I think, on Netflix on Dirty Money. And he basically sort of used taxpayers' money from Malaysia and used it and managed to divert it into his bank account and used it and passed it off as his own. He didn't get sent down. I think it went to court and he ended up having to agree a settlement out of court. But he got looked at and he got arrested and everything. So he was sort of like the guy who was financing the film was like a Jordan Belfort guy.
I love that.
Yeah.
Financed by dodgy money about a film about dodgy money. Yes. Yeah. Double on double. I bet he loved it. Yes. Yes.
And before we wrap it up, I'll give you my favourite.
Oh, sorry. And the guy who introduces DiCaprio on stage, you know, at the end when he's trying to sell the pair.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's Jordan Belfort.
Yes, it is, isn't it? It is.
Yeah.
Yes. That must have been a thing, the selling of the pen, mustn't it? Yeah. That must be
Brad,
a thing.
Well, Brad does it in the restaurant, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Early on in the film. But before we wrap up, I want to give you my favourite stat as well. Because when I found this out, it made me piss myself. You know the scene where they're having sex, Jordan and Margot's character, on the bed, covered in money?
Yeah.
After that, she was covered in paper cuts. Had to have time off because she got that many paper cuts from the money. I just really enjoyed that. I think that was because everyone's kind of it was kind of a thing, wasn't it, in that film? If they had sex on a bed of money, when really she got covered in paper cuts.
I must remember that. Note to self: take the money off first.
Right? Are we ready to rate it?
Yes.
Well, before we do that, let's just take a quick break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is an introduction to the podcast that gets a flavour for your neighbour.
Peering over the fence when things have got tense.
With the most outrageous tales of your next door fails.
The time has come for you to listen to
Score Next Door. My name's Rich Williams.
And I'm Emma Jones.
Score Next Door is our brand new podcast.
And we think you're going to love it.
Hopefully a bit more than you love your neighbours.
There's a new episode every Wednesday, so search for us wherever you listen to your podcast to find out what all the fuss is about.
And if you do love your neighbours, you might as well listen to the people that hate theirs.
Yeah, why not?
Right, let's rate it. So who actually goes first?
Well, I was just about to say, it's a shame the lad who did the synopsis didn't pile in with his rating. Or are we just taking it he's a 10?
He's got to be a 10, hasn't he?
No, but we can't because it's 30 out of 30, isn't it?
I love that. Like it's a rule. Like we didn't make that rule. He can't. It's not the way it works. He can't. It's 30 out of 30. He can't have a vote.
Do you know what? I'll volunteer myself to go first.
Okay.
I think I'm probably very similar to what Jake thought in the film because I'm 10 out of 10. After an hour, I thought it's a 10. After 2 hours, I thought it's a 10. After 3 hours, it's a fucking good film.
Yeah.
It's got it all. I really like it. I find it fun. I kind of like that fake lifestyle that it lives off. I like the film. But as well, I think I like more about what the film is and the making of it, and there's more to the film than the story. Yes, it's a very good story, and in a way, it's quite a sad story mixed up in all this glitz, glamour and drugs. But it's a good film. It's well put together, and Leo is outstanding. Like, he's unbelievable. So, I'm going for it. 10.
I'm going to follow you, I think, Coles. I think it's a 10 from me. even before I watched it last night, obviously, I'd seen the film before, and I thought it's already a 10. I mean, it is brilliant. It has everything: humour, the acting, and DiCaprio is unbelievable. I mean, I can see why he didn't win that year because of McConaughey and Dallas Buyers Club. I think McConaughey and Dallas Buyers Club was brilliant and probably did pip him. Can you believe didn't win a single Oscar?
That film
didn't win anything.
No, it didn't. It was nominated, wasn't it, for four?
Yeah,
or five.
It's nominated. Didn't win a single. I just find that a film that is so good that will stand the test of time, that people will watch again and again, didn't win anything.
A film that a lot of people will put down as the best film they've ever seen.
Yeah, one that's certainly up there with a lot of people, and I can't fault it. I can't fault it throughout. Scorsese, the way it's shot, the scripts, the improv, the actors, everything about it, I think it's got to be a 10 for me.
Price? We're 20 out of 20 so far.
20 out of 20.
I don't know what's going to happen here.
I'm going 9.
Oh,
hello.
Imagine if the first film the audience picked
so close and
guns.
Yet so far audience. 9. Yeah, 9.
You've got to tell us why.
The two highest rated films now, I think, are both Scorsese films.
I love it for all the reasons you said. I think the only thing for me is I think DiCaprio's brilliant, Scorsese brilliant. We've already talked about the length of the film. I just needed to see more of the other side of that decline than we
fall.
Did. I just felt for me, it all was up. Even when it was down, it was up.
Yeah, I know.
And I just couldn't believe there weren't those really, really, really dark moments that I wanted to know that really dark place when you've come off huge drug dependency, you've lost all your money and you're facing jail. I would have liked to have seen that. But there's only so much you can fit in a film, but that's why.
Yeah.
29 out of 30. I mean, it's up there. Like Jack said, so that's the two 29s out of 30.
No, I think Goodfellas got 29.5, didn't it?
Did it?
Yeah. I think Goodfellas is the highest rated. Or is The Godfather? I can't remember.
They're both up there. Very good film. Are you ready to find out what you're watching next
week? It's your pick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here, is it FPI?
I've got a feeling.
Have you?
I think
have you had the old Ouija out, Jack?
I've had the Ouija.
What's he going to pick? Tell me.
I don't think you will, but I'm going to tease you to the direction where I think you think it's going.
Okay.
I want to get back on to Coulson's childhood.
Yeah.
I want to get back on to musical.
Yeah.
I want to get back on to...
Oh, dear. I want to back on to the motorway. I'm leaving before you announce. I know what you're going to announce. We both know what you're going to announce. The audience know what you're going to announce.
You don't.
Right.
I want teenagers. I want singing.
Steady on. Different movie here.
That's a quote. That's a quote. Teenagers.
I want teenagers. I want music. Oh my word. It's Greece.
It's not what you think it is.
What is it?
School of Rock.
Ah!
It's like before, obviously, it's like High School Musical, but not High School Musical.
Yeah, so I can keep High School Musical
in the locker. School of Rock, now that is a mint film. That's a proper mint film. And you can find out all about it next week on the Sofa Cinema Club. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sofa Cinema Club, where we post loads of
Loads of good stuff. But yeah. But post what three of us can do.
Yeah. Until then, good night, God bless.
Good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.